Wednesday, March 4, 1987, Ash Wednesday service, Dr. John Carlton and Dr. Ben Johnson.
Thank you. This morning, we join millions of other Christians in an observance of Ash Wednesday. However, our service will be somewhat different to the traditional liturgical service. We are not using ashes from the palms of last Palm Sunday. Instead, we're giving you an opportunity to share your burdens. At this time, when we have completed the responsive reading, you may write something that you would like others to pray for on the piece of paper at the top. And at this time, if you will, take your program and let's tear that now so we do all the tearing at one time and there won't be the noise later in the service. Now, this petition can take perhaps three forms. One, it could be some sin that you want to confess just to God, to no one else, a burden that you're carrying. It might be someone else you're praying for. You may want to put their name, their first name, on the paper. I have a friend who's dying. She's in our church choir, and I know she would be very pleased to know that I'm going to put her name on the paper. Any special request you have for prayer for others, put on this paper. And at the conclusion of the responsive reading, there will be ushers who will pass among you. Some are down here and some at the back, I see. And receive these requests. You can, after you've written on them, and of course you do not need to put your name on it, it's known to God, simply fold the paper and place it in the box or basket as it comes around. Then the ushers will take these out of the sanctuary and burn them immediately. No one will read them. And the ashes that are formed by the burning of these requests will be brought back and put on these tables. And at the conclusion of Dr. Carlton's meditation, you may come forward. The people in the choir will come first and take the ashes. You're your own priest yourself and put it on your forehead, if you care to do that. If you do not care to do that, just remain in your seat and meditate at this time. But you see, the service is different in those two ways. First of all, the ashes are one another's burdens that we're going to bear. And secondly, you're your own priest. And if you care to do this, you will place the ashes on your forehead as a symbol of your prayer and your penitence and your prayer for others. Now let us join in the reading of the responsive reading, which is number 569. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We will now have a moment of silence, and you may meditate on this, and if you care to, write down a prayer request. And after that moment of silence, I'll give an indication for the ushers to come forward and receive these requests. May it please thee, good Lord, to give us true repentance, to forgive us all our sins, negligences, and ignorances, and to endue us with the grace of thy Holy Spirit to amend our lives according to thy holy word. O Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us and hear our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
On this Ash Wednesday, the Christian world returns again to that discipline and reflection that mark the austerities of the penitential season that we call Lent. In mind and imagination, we will reenact the penance of sackcloth and ashes spoken of by the Old Testament prophets. In some churches today, people will be thumbed with the sign of the cross and told, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." But more is involved here today than some seasonal splurge of tears and lament, some annual weeping in a sanctuary. We need more than sermon tasting or some Lenten diet or a theological binge. Rather, in contrition, we bring before God our sins, our brokenness, and our wounds. One of the most difficult but salutary exercises in the Christian life is what our friends in Alcoholics Anonymous call searching and fearless moral inventory. Sin is flippantly dismissed in our generation as a trifle, an immaturity, or a besetment. But we don't get rid of a problem by trivializing it. Our gone wrongness is real. Witness the words of Scripture. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. As Paul reminds us, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We fail to mirror and to reflect the image and the glory of our Maker. When William Temple, the late Archbishop of Canterbury, was an undergraduate at Oxford University, he went one day to hear a famous American evangelist who pressed upon his student congregation the forgiveness of God, quoting the text, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Temple said, "I went to that meeting in a serious and inquiring spirit, but I found myself somewhat unmoved. For alas, my sins were not scarlet, they were gray, all gray. They were not dramatic acts of rebellion and violent self-affirmation, but rather the colorless, tired sins of omission, inertia, and timidity. Now, however we state our problem here today, the Bible acknowledges that baffling duality that is within all of us. We are a strange compound of dust and divinity, of marvelous possibility and wayward actuality. The human heart, we know, has its mysteries and its vagaries. Goethe could exclaim in Faust, "Two souls, alas, are lodged within my breast." Paul could see himself as a creature of flesh in the thraldom of sin, desiring to do what is right, he said, "but evil is all I can manage." There is a dramatic picture for us of the torment of a divided self with an inner raging civil war. Near the end of his life, C.S. Lewis confessed, "I have had experiences which made me realize that all the progress I thought I had made religiously was really imaginary, and that the real work of redemption was yet to be done." All of us today confess with shame that parts of us have never heard the gospel. You see, our humanisms all run out at the edge of death and evil and our paralyzing impotence to do the good we know. How significant that the world's great religions picture life in terms of conflict between reality and illusion, light and darkness, spirit and matter, God and Satan. We affirm in our faith that ultimately only that Christ who is the gathered man, the collected man, can give to us the undivided heart. Now, with our sins today, we also bring before God our brokenness. In Cry of the Beloved Country, the wonderful novel of Alan Paton, which is set in South Africa, he says the tragedy is not that things are broken. The tragedy is that they are not mended again. So today we weep for politicians, white racists, black hate, crime and ignorance, slavery magnified as gadgets, the children of the desolate. We must weep that we wear our Lord's name, but not his power. Let us sorrow that our theological animosities render us as calloused as professional hangmen. Weep for our history and weep for our future. We gather up in the oblation of this hour all our wounds, the hurt we do to each other in our push for things and posts and places, the wounds that come from life's afflictions, anguish from loved ones gone on into the twilight, ideals that have lost courage, and the broken order of the mind. But at last, our Christian faith is always saying to us two things. You ought not to be the way you are, and no one need stay the way he is. The living Christ has two hands, one to point the way and the other to help us along. Today, as we bear each other's burdens and make our humble confession to Almighty God, we make the grand discovery that God is far more anxious to restore us than to punish us. He will renew us in grace rather than keep us in despair, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Let us pray. O thou sovereign God of the ages, from whom we wander like lost sheep, but in whose light we see light, fill the horizons of our world with promise of a new and a holier day. Grant us, O Lord, grace to bear each other's burdens, and make us swift to ease another's hurt. Make bold our feet, and sustain our souls with wisdom for our earthly conflict. Forbid that we should stray beyond thy voice, or wander from thy protection. Enable all of us this day to know the joy of sins forgiven and the health of wounds that are healed through Christ our Redeemer. Hear us now, O Lord, as together we pray. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace, both now and evermore. Amen.